This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block. This Memorial Day weekend brought thousands of veterans who fought in the Second World War to Washington, D.C. for the dedication of the National World War II Memorial. Today, we want to introduce you to one of the veterans of that war. His name is Fred Bornet. Bornet came to the United States in 1939 from his native Belgium, already a seasoned journalist and playwright. He was drafted into the U.S. Army in 1941. 60 years ago, he was Staff Sergeant Fred Bornet, a combat cameraman making war front movies in Italy, then France, and then Germany. He carried small black books in which he kept a journal. Now, at age 89, he reads some excerpts for us.
Caiazzo, March 30th. I inquired about my driver, Steve. They told me he was in the 96th hospital in Caserta. I drove down, entered the ward. Steve. The last time I saw him, he was pink-cheeked, robust, beaming. Now, there, and between a white wooden frame, holding up his broken arm, his cheeks still pink, are tightly drawn over the bones. My throat is tight. Steve is deep in pain. Under the blanket, his left leg stops short just above the knee. All around in the ward, the stale odor of sickness, of hovering death. A kid, his face so white it gets lost in his pillow. And all those bony faces, almost skulls, baring teeth in their sleep. Took a shower, returned to Caiazzo. The breeze was fragrant with countryside, the valleys soft with green patches. New shoots, new spring. Tonight, around the fire with Pasquale, Angelina, Giuseppina, with her plump, pure features, sensual lips, exquisite, and her fingers, her working fingers, so sturdy and strong, the sky in her eyes, the earth in her hands. April 1st, Caiazzo, the ancient village of weathered stones hanging on the side of a hill. Rugged little streets, filled with strong, pungent smells. I climb up to the castle dominating the village. And there, silent, deserted, stands an old yard, the heart of the castle. There are trees, a well, worn-out stones, all of it bathed in dreamlike quietness. I wander through a wine cellar filled with rare vintages. Reach a terrace overlooking the valley, green, fuzzy, mellow, pure enchantment. I sit on a sun-splashed railing, retrace my steps into a not-so-distant past. Just a few months ago, before I got hit, I mentally flip at random the pages of my little black notebook, my journal. Cerlano, January 30th. To see runes for months at a time, and grow indifferent to it, then to see that heap of rubble packed tight in Caiazzo, where familiar houses used to stand, to hear that Anna and Margherita, Pasquale's daughters, are buried under it, to see Pasquale's yellow, haggard face, and understand the horror, suddenly. Two bombs, intended for our quarters, and four houses collapse like a child's block game. Pictures hanging on a chunk of wall, the intimacy of a room thrown into crude daylight, the dentist's library, books leaning at a crazy angle, but still lined up on shelves, and that sudden, frightful elevation of the ground, filling the doorways, hard, dusty, under which people are buried, fingers frantically scratching, digging the grey dust, as though trying to exhume the remains of a lost city, discovering the familiar innocence of a chair, a bed, a toy, and then a strand of human hair. Cerlano, February 5th. We'll never forget the sight of Casino in the crystal-pure valley, white clear peaks so near, and the olive orchards with sun-dappled grass, camouflage tanks, crumbling St. Elia. And that little girl, later on, by Acqua Fondata, bare feet in the mud, her hair matted with rain, standing alone in front of the giant wheel of a GMC truck, crying, oh, they, and my camera would grind relentlessly, catching the heartbreak, and the child would stare straight into the lens, her gaze burning through the glass, darkly, desperately, as if to say, why are you doing this? Ciolano, January 19th. During the night, in the valley, muffled explosions like a huge body falling into a gigantic bathtub. Suddenly, a short, silken, insidious whistle, a powerful thud. For the first time in my life, I'm being shot at. So there it is, my baptism of fire. Strangely, no panic, just mouth dry as all mahogany. Nothing can describe the horrible waiting for the next one. Then the next one comes in, and the next one. Placable succession of diabolical things coming from nowhere. Things you can't stop, you can't talk to, you can't shout to, that's enough, stop it. In human power, in the valley, French guns bark back madly. The jeep flies over the road that Jerry is pounding. September 27th. A letter. Sweetheart, I have shot lately some real exciting pictures in the closest action I have photographed yet. At the crossing of a river, standing on a blown bridge, I was able to shoot several infantry guys charging a bunch of Krauts hiding in high grass. Many houses had been wrecked by our fire, but the people hung to our neck and kissed us. I was dragged in a farm, ate some hot soup. Later in a cafe, I had fried eggs, bread and wine. A young girl asked me, "You're sure the Germans won't come back?" "Quite sure. Yeah, quite sure." "Oh," she cried, "then I can put my skirt on." And she ran like mad upstairs and came back dressed in a Marianne skirt with thin red, white, and blue stripes, gay light with the stitches still on. And people laughed and cried and swept the rubble off their doorsteps and scooped dust and stones out of their houses through the shell holes. And an old woman stood there, quietly looking at a dead German with sticky red blood oozing out of his head. And she didn't say a word, nor move her eyes. And on the other side of the river we had left a while ago, that old man who had been peeling carrots in front of his house while shells were whistling by was still peeling his carrots. Ciolano, February the 6th. Lorette, a little French ambulance driver, a chaufferette. The first one I had met, she was in my film. I would have liked to continue, but it was the end. A coffin, two candles stuck on some shell cases. Yesterday morning on the road to St. Elia, a German 88, her legs blown off. "But what's happening to me?" she had said. And then it was all over. She had lovely eyes. Ciolano, February the 3rd. Refugees. They climb along the roads, rags around their feet, tears in their eyes. What is left of their home is packed in a clumsy bundle. They sleep in cold woods, are robbed blind by German soldiers, walk till their feet swell, dodge murderous shelling. With sleepy children in their arms, they form a biblical, unforgettable sight. As we met them on the road to St. Elia, they had stopped, exhausted, dying of thirst. I emptied my canteen in their trembling cups, watched as water spilled over parched lips. Twice women kissed my hand. I felt silly, embarrassed. 6 months later, Gulf of Saint-Tropez, invasion of southern France. August 15th, 1944. Ships spit red and white flashes with rich thunder. Planes vanish. Landing tomorrow. August 16th. Saint-Maxime. The coast of France. The lovely Côte d'Azur. Disembarked around 11 a.m. Hardly any German opposition. Mostly batteries of wooden guns, for show. Later, the plain of Colmar, Alsace. February 15th, 1945. There was a castle of Schappenweer. Savage fighting had swirled around the 5 centuries-old chateau. Located on the outskirts of Colmar, its park was a perfect hideout for heavy artillery and mortar positions. A wealthy French general owned it. When the hunting season was on in Alsace, the house was glittering with guests and parties. Now war, krauts, frogs, and GIs had passed through it. Shells had shaken plaster from many ceilings. The ancient trees of the park showed white cuts of shrapnel. German uniforms, bazookas were strewn about. In the noon sun, the trees with their bare, twisted limbs looked ghostly. I crossed the pink, aristocratic front entrance with its delicate Gothic mouldings, brushed plaster debris from the keys of a grand piano standing in the middle of a huge wood-paneled room, and played through the beautiful, haunted silence.
Fred Bornet playing piano a few years ago and reading from his journals, which were written between 1943 and 45, when he was a combat photographer in Europe. Today, Bornet is a New York artist and filmmaker. There are photographs of him then and now at our website, npr.org.